Our lesson this morning will be on the adversary. And I don't know if you listened to the news this morning, but the mystery of iniquity was at work again in the United States last night, as he always is, with 20 people shot, killed, 40 injured in some kind of a fracas down in the, I guess it was in Atlanta somewhere. And I want to jump forward into this lesson and look at one verse rather than take it in sequence through the lesson. I want to look at this first verse because this verse is so important that you understand. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And if you get nothing out of this lesson, you want to comprehend this verse. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 12. Now, in the English, you don't get the sense of this. It's only in the Greek that you can really comprehend. There's three phrases in this verse. The first, let's look at it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's one. The second, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. That is two. The third, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But the verse reads this way in the Greek. And by the way, I'm no real Greek scholar, but I'm reading guys who are. You read the verse this way. The middle phrase is left out and becomes the phrase on the end. So the verse reads, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against spiritual wickedness in high places, but against the principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world." Now, how do you know that? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Why is that true? Well, Christ has done that with the blood of his cross. We have been victorious over that aspect of flesh and blood. The last phrase, against spiritual wickedness in high places, no longer there. That was cast out, and some left when Satan and the angels left their natural estate. So, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against spiritual wickedness in high places, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's what we are against. And we've looked at that before in a lesson called Principalities and Powers. And those things exist today. They have great influence on world affairs. Political, if you remember the word suzerainty, that's political power that the principalities and powers seem to have. And so that verse is buried in this lesson. But it's so important, I wanted to get to it first, while you're fresh and before you go to sleep. Surprisingly, the scripture does not discuss the problem of evil. It only faces the fact, its presence, and points to the one and only means of escape from its dreadful bondage. In like manner, it does not discuss why Satan came into God's creation or how it came about. It only recognizes his presence, acknowledges his great power, this adversary, this spiritual wickedness that we wrestle against in this world, and sets before us the conflict of the ages. Now, the conflict of the ages is described in Scripture in two ways. First is, we'll turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We'll read it. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We have quite a few scriptures to look up today. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, chapter 3, verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed in the world, and received up into glory. The mystery of godliness. That's one in the scripture. The other one is found in 2 Thessalonians. Back up a few pages there in your Bible. Take a left-hand turn. Back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Beginning with verse 7. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So, and I'm in 1 Thessalonians, I need to get to 2 Thessalonians. Excuse me, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Not only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. By the way, you got to look at that verse pretty careful. If you notice, he is not capitalized. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Why is he not capitalized? It's the Holy Spirit. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So these are the two conflicting powers in the ages. The mystery of godliness, the mystery of iniquity. All other mysteries belong, and there are, as you know, there's a lot of other mysteries spoken of in the scripture. All other mysteries belong to one of these two, the mystery of godliness or the mystery of iniquity. We spend most of our time here in the forum looking at the first one. We're looking at the mystery of godliness. So today I want to concentrate on the second one, the mystery of iniquity, and I want to point out seven things for your thinking in this system. The satanic system. And we are faced with that. We are living with that according to what we just read there in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. The first thing is Satan is the big mo in this system, this satanic system. It's governed by Satan. He is referred to in other places as the prince of this world, Satan, the serpent, the devil, the dragon of the apocalypse, the wicked one, the murderer, the father of lies, the prince of the power of the air, the manslayer, destruction and death, the god of this age, the adversary, the ruler of darkness, and that's all I can find. There's probably some others. He is the king of this satanic system of principalities and powers that exist, the rulers of darkness. Interestingly, the word in Hebrew, it can be either a noun or a verb. Not sure what that's all about. The numerical value of the word, in the Greek is 666, and everybody knows that. So that's the first thing. He is the governor of the satanic system. The second thing is the system is wholly evil. We are under it today. We saw the first verse I wanted you to look at. That was Ephesians 6:12. Look at James chapter 4, verse 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So it is the fact that you are living in this system, but you do not have to be a part of this system. But the system is wholly evil, and unfortunately we find ourselves in it, and these are the wickedness and the high-powered and the places that we wrestle against in our life. In this system, third thing I would point out for you, in this system, is Satan has great authority. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, and that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Satan has the power of death. And that, of course, has been victorious for us in resurrection, which we looked at last week in this lesson. But eventually the whole process of death is going to be destroyed. He oppresses this satanic person. Turn back to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Verse 11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. This spirit of infirmity is Satan in this satanic system. Acts chapter 10. Look at Acts chapter 10. Verse 38. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So another verse showing the same in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7. Paul speaking, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure So even Paul was afflicted with this power that Satan has. Number four, Satan's MO, his modus operandi. We see it in 1 John chapter 2. Look at 1 John chapter 2. Beginning with verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. All of the things that draw our attention in the world are, and particularly things with the pride of life, things that, and this is national, this has to do with nations, problems in the Middle East, national pride, the lust of the eyes. All of these things are a distraction from the Word, and it's Satan's modus operandi, to keep you off of the Word, keep you off of that which is important. And so many of these things, there's nothing really wrong with them. You've heard me say this before. If you love that some of these things, it's fine. You just can't get to the point where it takes you away from that which is according to God's Word. The fifth thing I would point out is that the system thrives on greed. Turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And this says it well, what I just said. Mark chapter 4, verse 19. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. If you allow all of these worldly things to choke the word. And that's a strange use of the word, of the language. Choke the word. It chokes it off. You're not paying any attention to those things that are important. And you say, well, you know, I have to earn a living. Well, that's true. You have to earn a living. But you are in this world. You don't have to be of this world. Paul was a tent maker. He had to make tents to survive. There's evidence that he took his tent process with him on the road, that he actually was making tents in all of his travel in order to support himself. Chasing the pot of gold only. That's the satanic system that they pushed out on you. Choking the word. Wrong priorities. The process is used by Satan in his system. Caution. Beware. Number six, this system hated Christ, and it hates you too. You don't think so? Look at 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3. Verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you and what you stand for. what happens is you're classified as a goody two-shoes. You're labeled as a right-wing conservative religious Christian zealot, a fanatic, if you will. Why? Because you are a light shining in the darkness. The system hates you. Number seven, the good news. The good news is that the system is in the long run impotent. You're in 1 John. Look at 1 John verse 4, chapter 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Back up to chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 15. I think we looked at this. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So you know the last chapter of the book. You know what that is going to be. That's the rest of the story. Now the question arises, how did this system originate? And I must admit that the origin of evil is a mystery. Why, how this come to be. We are led to some understanding by Scripture. We're here in 1 John. Look at the chapter 3 of 1 John, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So Satan was there initially. We know that God creates perfect. He was not created this way. He became this way. His pride got into the way of him. And so there was insurrection in the ranks of the angels, of these principalities and powers and Satan. And so it was his pride. He, in fact, wanted to be God. So the system begins there, clear back in the beginning, way before the foundations of the world, before anything that we are told about in Scripture. However, Ezekiel chapter 28 sheds the most information, I think. So turn in your Bibles back to Ezekiel chapter 28. It's on page 1145 in the Companion Bible. Ezekiel chapter 48. And in this chapter, there are two different individuals addressed. One is the Prince of Tyre, who is a mere man. And the second is the King of Tyre, and is a parallel, and is actually Satan. So let's first look at this Prince of Tyre. We read, beginning in chapter 28, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God. Though thou set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. And with thy wisdom and with thine understanding thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver in thy treasures. And by thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches. And thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and thou shalt draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. And they shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. And wilt thou yet say before him, thou slayest thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man, and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die in the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. This guy, this prince, had pride in himself, in his earthly wisdom and his riches. And by this earthly wisdom and knowledge, he became rich. And this led to pride and a blasphemous character. And not only is death his end, but his glory is brought to nothing. It is a series then of a parallel between this prince and the king of Tyre, which we read on then starting in verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. This is reference to Satan. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire and emerald, the carbuncle and the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. This was some kind of being, no question. He was a magnificent specimen, created perfect. God only creates perfect, by the way. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the days that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. And by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Does that sound a little bit like what we were reading in Ephesians? He's cast out. It's not principalities and powers in heavens that we wrestle against. It's not against the flesh and blood that's been victorious by Christ's crucifixion and death. It's the principalities and the darkness and the power of this world, this kind of character that's been cast out of the heavenlies, down to earth. It's quite a revelation, I think. The magnificent creature now cast out as before, doomed to ashes on the earth. He was without blemish. He has dealt in merchandise and traffic. By the way, the word merchandise in the Hebrew equals traffic in moral slander. The father of lies, beginning with who? Eve. What did he say? Oh, Eve, surely you won't die. A talebearer of falsehood, walking to and fro in the earth, filled with himself, with a violence and a defiantness about anything the moral or good. He was changed from the anointed cherub to Satan by his pride. Why? He was given a free will, just like you and I. The angels, the principalities and powers that God created way before earth, they had this free opportunity to believe God or not believe God, and some of them didn't. And as we read last week about this lake of fire that's able to destroy both body, soul, and spirit, eventually these characters are going to be done away with by this lake of fire. And there was a big question at the conference down in Lafayette last week about, well, what is this lake of fire? Well, technically, it is a figure of speech, because I can't comprehend something that can destroy a spirit from within. Let's read on, verses 18 and 19. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee. I don't know, is that in reference to this lake of fire? Probably. Something I can't comprehend. A spirit being to be destroyed somehow. And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Cast out of the mountain of God already. He will be destroyed. Laid before kings. We've seen the last book of God's purpose and plan for the ages. That's one of the very end things. The annihilation of those who have chosen to not believe God. Physical beings, spiritual beings, done away with when death and the grave are cast into the lake of fire. The end of the satanic system. Back up in Ezekiel to chapter 26. Verse 21, I will make thee a terror, and thou shalt be no more. Though thou be sought for, yet shall they never be found again, saith the Lord God. That's the last, that is the rest of the story as far as the adversary of God is concerned. Just as the sin of Satan, he left the ranks that he had been given, the sanctuary that he was in. Our sins of man were the same. He was cast out of the garden. Satan cast out of his sanctuaries. Man was cast out of the garden there in Eden. Very much the similar circumstances. And there is redemption, of course, for man through the cross of Christ. But in the end, Satan will be crushed, paradise regained, the tree of life restored, by the way. I think as we saw last week in our lesson, former things will have passed away, the satanic system will be gone, and Christ will be all in all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your magnificent purpose and plan for the ages. We're grateful for this record that you have left us that we might study, that we might understand. I pray that you would continue to open our eyes, that we may grow in the grace and the knowledge of you, that we may walk worthy of this vocation wherein we are called, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.